Well, God bless you. Good to see you today. Thanks for joining us on this nice April weekend. We are wrapping up. We're in the second week of our sermon series called Chain Reaction. And we're going to be doing this for two more weeks. And we're just talking about how our lives, we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. And that every single one of us in this room have the ability to be used by God, where Jesus can work through our life to impact somebody else that in turn can impact somebody else. We all have that available to us. Now, before I get into today's message, let me just take a minute to pause and remind you that tonight we do have our Discovering Richwoods class at 4:30. And if you're newer to our church, you've never taken this, we encourage you to do so. Our Discovering Richwoods class goes from 4:30 to 7:30. We do this about once every quarter. And it's basically an overview of Richwoods, why we do what we do, why we don't do certain things that you may think or have questions why we don't do them. And we talk about our beliefs. We talk about our mission, our vision, our values. I teach half the class. Chris Workman teaches the other half of the class. We have a dinner break right in the middle of it. Dinner's provided, childcare. And so if you've not yet taken our discovery class, we encourage you to come back tonight at 4:30 and take that. It's generally an evening. We try to have a lot of fun with it, as well as cover a lot of material to better understand your relationship with God and your relationship to our church. That's tonight at 4:30. But for today, what we're doing is we're going through our Chain Reaction series, and we're talking about some of these specific things that we can use in our life to cause a chain reaction to be used by God. And today, I want to talk to you about using our words. Because one of the things that all of us have available to us is this gift of words, all right? Even those that we have people who come to our church that are deaf or mute, and even with sign language, they can use their words to communicate things. They can share things to other people. They're able to receive messages. And so as we communicate with our words, all right, our words have incredible power to them, all right? For example, it's been once said that our minds are more like an art gallery than it is a debating hall, and what that means is that our mind tends to grab a hold of images and pictures that resonate in our mind, and words that are spoken to us often come into our heads, and they almost burn these images, these pictures. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21, it says, "The tongue has power, the power of life and of death." All right? And those who love it will eat its fruit. Our words have the ability to speak life into someone, and our words have the ability to speak death into someone. Our words have power to them. Our words can burn images into people's mind that can shape their future, that can shape their reality. And all of us are able to use this gift for better or for worse. All right. For example, whenever I think about this verse in the book of Proverbs where it says life and death is in the power of the tongue, I think about a story of a woman by the name of, many of you remember this, those of you that are my age and a little old, remember a singer in the 70s named Karen Carpenter. And eventually she died prematurely. She had anorexia, an eating disorder. And what really triggered her eating disorder is that when she was a young girl, teenager, she started to sing. And I believe it was Rolling Stone magazine, an author made just this little bitty quip about her. And he referred to her as Richard's chubby little sister. And as a teenager, she could never get that out of her mind, chubby little sister. And it put her on this path, this eating disorder that eventually took her life prematurely. It burned an image in her mind that she could never quite overcome. Ben Seaman, our campus pastor at our other campus, we were doing our planning meeting this week. He told a story about a woman named Jen that was friends with he and Crystal in Colorado. And actually, they were close enough friends that the last meal that they had before moving here to Peoria was with Jen and her husband. And as they were having their dinner talking, Jen told a story about how when she was growing up, her mother used to lock all the cabinets so she could not get into the cabinets. And so Ben made a comment about, well, is that because so you couldn't, you know, get into any kind of chemicals? Was that when you were a little kid? She goes, no, my mother did it all the way through high school. And she didn't just lock me out of stuff. She locked me out of the food because my mother would tell me that if I ate too much, that people would not like me. It burned an image in her mind. And Ben said, is that why you begin to run marathons? Is that why you, you know, get into this idea of running? And she said, well, that was part of it, but I just found that when I went to school and my grades, because Jen went on to become a doctor, now she's a physician helping other people. But she found that when she succeeded in athletics and when she succeeded academically, it was the only time she ever got praise. And so when Ben said something to her about, you know, is this why you became a doctor? And she says, really, all I wanted was to hear my mother say that I love you. And my friends, most of us in this room, we have our stories where people have spoken words of death into our life. And sometimes if we're fortunate, and maybe based upon our personality or who it was, sometimes those words, you know, just flow off our back like water on a duck, and we may think about them every once in a while, but they really don't have much power. But some people in this room have been gripped by those words, and you continue to hear those words. As a pastor, I've literally talked to people in their 70s and 80s that still in their mind are these images, these words that were spoken to them when they were children, that they've never been able to get out of their mind. But hopefully in this room also, we are people that have words of life that have been spoken into us. Hopefully as you're here this morning, you also can identify with some words of life that someone has spoken into you, words that breathe hope inside of you, words that give you a future and a hope. We all have this ability within us. And so today what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you today about three types of words, ways that we can use our words to cause a chain reaction, ways that we can use our words not just for harm, but how we can use our words for good, how we can speak life into someone else. First of all, I want to talk to you about what I call encouraging words. Now, encouraging words are words that motivate, words that inspire, words that produce something inside. They lift somebody up, all right? And they bring life to them. These are encouraging words. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, three key words in this passage that I want to talk about. First of all is the word unwholesome there, which means bad or corrupt. Do not let there be any bad, corrupt, unwholesome talk out of your mouth is what he exhorts us to, first of all. And then he says, but only that which is helpful. Now, the word helpful there is the word agathos in the Greek, and it literally means good. Only let there be good words, beneficial words that come out of your mouth. And then he says, for building up. Now, this phrase building up is an interesting word, for building others up. It's the word in the Greek language is actually two words. Oikodome is the word. And what it literally means is to, the word oikos is the word for house. And the word dome is the word for construct. And so what it's saying here is we use our words to build somebody up. In other words, it's almost like framing a house. When you lay the foundation on a house, they begin to frame the house, right? And when you're framing the house, you're scaling, you're putting the walls in place to where the house is going to go, what the house is going to look like. And this word is really saying, use our words for what is helpful, what is good and beneficial to what? To build somebody up, to build them into something, all right? That's the exhortation in this passage, and that's what encouraging words are. They are words that help build somebody up. They're words that help move someone forward, not tear them down. Unwholesome are these bad and corrupt words, and unfortunately, unwholesome words come out of all of our mouths. Some of us, in our anger, in our frustration, in our just crankiness, fatigue, whatever, we all have used these unwholesome words. Unfortunately, some people just tend to live their life using a majority of their words are unwholesome words. A majority of their words are critical or negative, tear down. But all of us have used those words. The question is, do we intentionally look for ways to try to speak good into someone's life? Do we look for ways to try to build other people up? Because that's the exhortation. All right, I came across a story recently, it's a true story, about a New York teacher who was doing an exercise with her class. She had heard about this thing that was done. It happened actually in California, Del Mar, California, where there was a teacher there who did an experiment with some students. And so this teacher in New York adapted this. And so she had this group of seniors, and what she did is she took each student and she brought them in front of the classroom, and she spoke positive, good words in her life. She took each student and she shared something good to build them up, you know, this is what you bring. This is what I see in you. And she spoke these words. And then she gave each student, she put a blue ribbon on them. And then she said, now I want you to take these extra ribbons, and I want you to take these three blue ribbons, and I want you to share this with somebody else, who in turn will share it with somebody else. And so one of the students that she did this exercise with, he immediately went after school, he went down the street, and he found this guy that was a junior executive in a company there, and he went to this young man and said, you know, thanked him for helping him develop his career path, and he had been a mentor to him, and so he told him thank you and shared these encouraging words, and then he gave him one of these blue ribbons, and then he said, now I want you to go and to take these other ribbons, and I want you to share with somebody else. And so the junior executive thinks for a few minutes, and he actually goes into the office of his boss. Now, his boss was like a typical, you know, when you think about sort of a cranky, you know, New York finance type person, this guy sort of met the stereotype, and he goes into him and he says, listen, boss, you know, I had this young man, tells him the story. He says, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for inspiring me and giving me direction and speaking truth, and I feel like you're preparing me to be successful in my career. And he actually gave one of these to his boss, and he said, now to the boss, you know, I need you to go, and you're supposed to go and pay this forward and to share with somebody else. Well, the boss, you know, sort of took it and didn't do much with it. But as he was going home that night in his car, he thought about this, and he thought about his teenage son. And that night when he got home, I'm going to read to you what happened, but when he got home and he got there, he got his 14-year-old son, and then he shares this with his son. The most incredible thing happened today. I was in my office, and one of my junior executives came in and told me he admired me and gave me this blue ribbon for being creative, and he thinks I'm a creative genius, he said, you know, sort of laughing. And he said, and then he put this blue ribbon on me that says, who I am makes a difference. And he said, I was told to share this with somebody else, and as I was driving home tonight, I thought about you. My days are really hectic, and when I come home, I don't pay a lot of attention to you, and sometimes I scream at you for not getting good grades and for your bedroom being a mess, but somehow tonight, I just want to sit here, and I want to tell you that you make a difference to me. Besides your mother, you are the most important person in my life. You are a great kid, and I love you. And when the father said these words, the boy began to sob, and he started to cry and cry and cry. And finally, the father said, what do you go so emotional for? And the boy said, Dad, I literally was thinking about committing suicide because I didn't think that you loved me. My friends, even when sometimes it feels hokey or uncomfortable or awkward, our words have power. And it's not just the bad things that we say to people, but sometimes it's the good that we do not say to people. And all of us in this room can use encouraging words. You see, we think these thoughts. We think these thoughts about people. We think these thoughts about people that we love and people that we know. And sometimes we're like, well, they already know. Or maybe I'll tell them later. Or I feel really awkward, or they're going to think that I'm crazy, or they're whatever, you know. And we often talk ourselves out of it. Or sometimes, to be completely honest, for some of us, it's just pride. We just don't want to say it. But encouraging words are a way that we can speak life into people. Do not let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, beneficial for building others up. My friends, this is an exhortation that all of us can put into practice. We can use encouraging words, all right? Second of all, we can use what we call pleasant words. Pleasant words are words that express gratitude, blessing, or praise. Pleasant words are words that don't just build up, but they're words that acknowledge, I see you, I see what you did, you did a great job, I really appreciate you. They're words of encouragement, but they're more than just encouragement, they're words of gratitude, they're words of praise. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bone. Now, I shared this a couple of weeks ago, but it's important to understand that when the Proverbs were written, most of the Proverbs were written in about, you know, 2,800 years ago. And as many of these Proverbs were written, you know, understand that when you lived in the Middle East in a very arid and a very dry and in many cases a very, you know, a desert-like environment with rocks and sand and everything else, you see, the idea of a honeycomb was an image. It was something that was like, it was a delicacy, if you will. Because you just couldn't walk across the street to a gas station and buy candy bars. You couldn't just, you know, go and get soda pop. I mean, this week, I had another pastor friend. He took me over to Touche Restaurant, which is over nearby, and it was their 10-year anniversary, and the owner of the restaurant came out, and he gave us, like, a free dessert, and it was, like, this chocolate mousse stuff with stuff, and I'm not a big chocolate guy, but I tore this up. All right, I'm telling you, this was incredible. You know, and so we have access to these sweets all the time, right? We can drive home and go by and pick up ice cream or down the street, you know, and get something. And I mean, many of your mouths just starting to water as I'm talking about it, right? And so, but we have this all around us. But if you and I lived 2,700 years ago, a sweet was really a sweet. It was a delicacy. And the Bible says that pleasant words are like a honeycomb. It's like craving a sweet, you know, something just sweet in your mouth. And he said a honeycomb is sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. When we speak pleasant words, words of praise, words of positive nature, words of gratitude into somebody else's life, do you understand it's sweet to the soul? Those breathe life into people, and they can bring healing to the bones. Physicians aren't the only ones that can heal. Our words can bring life and healing to people. These are pleasant words. The word pleasant here often is translated in the New and the Old Testament, delightful. Beautiful, graceful, all right? And once again, this honeycomb, the idea is it's sweet and it speaks to people. Donald Miller in his book, Blue Like Jazz, says, I always thought the Bible was more of a salad thing, you know, but as I get older, I see it's more of a chocolate thing, all right? And there's words, God's word can speak life into us, but not just can God's word speak life into us, but we can speak life into others. Pleasant words are like delicious words. They taste good. They breathe life. I love you. I need you. Thank you. I'm glad you're part of my life. I don't know what I would do without you. I can't tell you how much you mean to me. I am proud of you. These are pleasant words, and they're words that bring life. Just this week, actually yesterday morning, I actually was literally not thinking about this at all. Yesterday I finished my taxes, and like most of you, I loathe taxes. I just hate doing it. But I was finishing my taxes, and as I was finishing my taxes, I thought back to a guy, a friend of my wife and I, Dave and Carla Braun. Dave was an accountant, and when I first went into ministry in the early 90s, my taxes, the first year I was in ministry, my taxes got incredibly more complex because you keep track of gas mileage and receipts, and we have a housing allowance thing. And so my friend Dave said, Dave, he said to me, Jim, why don't you just come over and I'll help you. Now, this was like in the early 90s. It was like literally first generation TurboTax, right? And so, he was like doing my tax on the computer. And we would go over to his house, and we would literally spend a night of 3, 4, 5 hours, and he would do my whole taxes in one night for me. And as I was finishing my taxes yesterday morning, I thought, you know what, man, I'm just amazed that Dave would give me 4 or 5 hours to do my taxes. And I have not seen this guy in over 10 years, and I decided just to give him a call. And I called Dave up. I said, Dave, hey, how are you doing? Great to hear from you. And I just said, hey, I just want to thank you. Because I was just thinking back to those days in your house, you know, when you would help me with my taxes back in the 90s, and we just laughed. But I would like to think that those are pleasant words. Even 20, 25 years later, they're words of saying, I see you. I thank God for you. I haven't forgot about what you did for me. Those are pleasant words. And every single one of us in this room can share pleasant words with people that God brings into our life. All right? The third thing is appropriate words. Appropriate words. Appropriate words, this is significant. Appropriate words are the right word spoken at the right time for the right reason. I mean, these are those words that like, boom. It's the right word at the right time for the right reason. And the thing about appropriate words is appropriate words are not just statements. Appropriate words can be questions. Appropriate words can be asking the right question at the right time. You see, it's the right question that opens somebody up. It's the question that allows somebody else the opportunity to speak or to be heard or to feel seen by somebody else. These are appropriate words. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:11, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Once again, we talked a moment ago about sweets. Remember, you know, apple, I mean, a good ripe apple's got a little, you know, little sweetness to it. And it's like an apple that is in gold and settings in silver. It's an image saying that these words are priceless. A word aptly spoken. The word aptly here literally means suitable, appropriately, appropriate or fittingly. A fittingly word, an appropriate word, a suitable word, the right word at the right time, here's what it's saying to us, is priceless. And sometimes we don't know when that right word at the right time is. We don't always know what somebody else is thinking. We don't always know what someone else is feeling. We don't always know, but when we feel prompted and we say the right word, especially when we speak pleasant words or we speak encouraging words, we might just find that they turn into appropriate words that they speak into someone's life. This takes intentionality. It takes opportunity. Intentionality to actually speak into someone's life, trusting that God can use our words. And we may think we're speaking an appropriate word. It may not mean anything at all. Or it may be that we're just saying something that sticks. You know, when you think back at your life, most of us, some of the most words that have stuck in my life were not words where someone says, Jim, I just need to sit down and have a real big talk with you and tell you something. Oftentimes, they're words that were not pre-planned, but there was something going on to where those words stuck inside of me. For example, whenever I think about this idea of a fitting or appropriate or apt word, I think about probably 15 years ago. I'd been at Richwoods 4 or 5 years. The church had grown, and the church had grown to maybe, I don't know, it had doubled, more than doubled, tripled in size. And we got to a point where I was reading a book on church leadership, and I realized that when a church goes from 65, 100 people, when it gets to about 300 to 400 people, the church has to begin to have more administrative. You have to begin to have more structure. You have to begin to have, you know, more processes in the church to be able to handle more people. And I am not very good at that stuff. I don't like that stuff. And I'm reading this stuff, and the board, the dynamics of our church board was needing to change a little bit, and that was changing because it was getting bigger, more things were happening. We had to have more administration. I didn't like that stuff. And I at the same time, I had an opportunity for a job in Colorado. And Stephanie and I, we agreed to pray about this, and we actually drove out to visit Colorado, and we were just wrestling with this, is the time to move? And I'm like, you know what, I'm just not sure that maybe Richwood's as big as it's going to get with me as a pastor. I need to get somebody else who can move the church forward. And so as we're going through all this, one of my mentors, a guy by the name of Gary York, said, hey, you know, we were going to have lunch together, and I'll never forget the setting. Because these were such appropriate and powerful words. We were actually in Ruby Tuesdays over by Morton. And I can still remember sitting at the table. I remember where we were positioned in the room. And we're having this conversation. I'm sharing this with Gary. I'm sharing about this opportunity to go to Colorado. And, you know, obviously a nice place to live. And I'm like, you know what? I think the church, you know, we need this administrative stuff. And we can't hire more staff. And I'm just not sure that I can do this. And Gary, this guy that's a mentor of mine, he leans across the table. And he says, Jim, Peoria needs a church like Richwood's. They need an impact church in that community. There's a lot of good churches, but they need your church, and you're the guy to do it. And the fact that he believed in me at a time that I was struggling to believe in myself, to help lead the church forward, those were appropriate words. They spoke to me. They stuck to me. And I left that meeting, I left that lunch meeting, and I knew that I knew that I knew that this is where I was supposed to be long term. And my friends, we have the ability to do that. And whether it's sitting down with somebody intentionally, whether it is a spontaneous conversation, think about what it says in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy talks about parents talking to their kids. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, it talks about, you know, talk to your kids about these things, share these stories with them. And it specifically talks about foreign environments. It talks about mealtime. When you sit down, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So when you sit down to eat together, it's an opportunity to speak encouraging words or pleasant words or appropriate words. And then it says when you walk along the road, this is often referred to as drive time, all right? When we're in our car, some of my best conversations with my boys at this particular season of their life is driving in the car. And some of the questions that they will ask, you know, and some of the conversations that will evolve, I mean, it's just precious to have those conversations. But also, it talks about to have these conversations when you lie down. That's bedtime. Sometimes some of our most intimate, thoughtful conversations occur before we go to bed at night when our days are winding down. And then it says, when you get up in the morning, this is morning time. When you get up in the morning, there's a sense of intentionality. When you start your morning, there's more intentionality. There's more purpose. All right, this is what I've got to get done today. This is what I've got to do. And what the scripture says in the book of Deuteronomy is that when you sit down and when you're eating together, when you're driving and you have these spontaneous conversations and opportunities, when you lie down at night and when you get up and you have intentionality and you're planning your day, you're thinking, I've got to have this, I've got to have that. These are all opportunities for us to speak encouraging words, for us to speak pleasant words, for us to speak appropriate words. Now, none of us do this perfectly. As we shared earlier, all of us have spoken unwholesome words. And our anger and our frustration, we've said very hurtful things to people. And oftentimes, they're not always representative of how we really feel just in the moment we say things. Right? Some of us in this room, you know, I often say about myself that I have the spiritual gift of sarcasm. All right? My humor style is sarcasm. I love other people that are sarcastic, and my humor, I just love kidding and joking with people, and I love people that kid and joke with me, but sometimes my sarcasm can be hurtful to people. Sometimes I'm just trying to have fun or kid people, and even today it's like, I'm preaching on this, and I bet I had, you know, someone that was in the kitchen, they reached across to grab something. I'm like, hey, that's awful rude to reach across that person. You know, I mean, I'm being sarcastic, being fun. I'm like, I'm talking about wholesome words. And, you know, fortunately it was Kara and she knows me and she blows me off, didn't listen to me anyway. But, but once again, I've got to be careful because sometimes sarcasm, even though I'm trying to have fun, it can sometimes come across as unwholesome or hurtful. Or sometimes sarcasm is something that can be used as an ally to anger. Sometimes we can use sarcasm to cut at somebody without really saying it. Sometimes I can use it to mask something that I really want to say that I'm frustrated about. I don't know what your form of humor is. I don't know what your style is. I don't know what kind of mood you're in. I don't know how frustrated you are with your job or your career or your family, but here's what I know. Every one of us in this room, we have life and death inside of us. And with our mouth, we have the ability, friends, coworkers, spouses, parents, children, friends, strangers, we have the ability to speak life and to speak death. Amen. Let's hope that we choose life. This week, I challenge you every day, the next 7 days, to intentionally and purposely use your words to speak life into someone else's life. And if those words are not received or don't stick, that's okay. But just share life with someone. Let's pray. Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, and I thank you that you offer forgiveness when we use our words unwholesome in an unwholesome way. And I pray, dear God, that you help us to be more mindful of how we can use our words for good. And I pray that as we speak words of life, that it would cause a chain reaction that someone else would be able to share with someone else and that good would occur. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.